You have a weapon?
Yeah, a big one. How about you?
You sure you want to get cute with me? You have a backup weapon?
Never had the need.
Get one. Keep that in your suit unless I tell you to take it out. Get yourself a Glock. Lose that nickel-plated sissy pistol.
The Patrick Henry Society is changing days here on the Survival Circle Network. Come listen to Kit Lang on Mondays now at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. The enemies of freedom never rest, and neither should we. Come and listen to Liberty at its Finest on the Patrick Henry Society, now on Mondays, here on the Survival Circle Network.
And salute while we play the Redneck National Anthem. Redneck, don't give a darn, a redneck. Raised on a farm, I'm a redneck. I'm a six-pack king, I'm a redneck. Just be doing my thing, a redneck.
It's the Redneck Country Cowboy, straight of mine.
Back. Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Survival Circle. Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and welcome to The Shooting Bench, the most radical, right-wing, conservative, no-holds-barred, information-packed, freedom-loving firearms information program on talk radio, beginning right now.
Die, fight, and you may die. Run, and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
And here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's a little late. It always is on Thursday night or Wednesday nights because of my scout commitment. Now we've got that may be changing, but I don't know yet because sometimes we have meetings on the second and fourth Wednesdays or the first and third Wednesdays or whenever it is. And so I don't know if I can safely change it back and be consistent with what we're doing. I may just leave it here. But it's the 26th of August and a Wednesday. So we got a lot of important stuff to talk about tonight. We're trying to get this Arms Expo, Restoring America's Heritage. We're trying to get that up and running. We've got our building picked out and all of that stuff, but we're just having a hard time. There's so many things, other things going on that we're having a hard time getting everything running here. So we'll, it'll be happening. We're just having a hard time getting things put together. We got so many other things that are taking precedence right now, important things. So anyway, got a 3-day defensive handgun class coming up here next month in, right here in the local area. We'll watch our website, southwestshootingauthority.com, and see when that's going to be. We haven't set a date yet. We do have a place and, getting some people interested in it. So we'll let you know how that goes. And by the way, since we're, is Mountain Shooter on here? Let me check and see who all is here. Kind of slim pickings here tonight. Let's see. He's not on here yet. He's probably tied up with a bunch of fires and stuff. By the way, speaking of fires, Washington's still burning up there in places. I think they're getting a handle on it in some areas, but it's still pretty bad. Oregon's pretty bad. Northern Idaho's pretty bad. Contrary to popular belief, Arizona is not pretty bad. There's a lot of little fires. The bigger ones, the biggest one here was only 7,000 acres, and it's 95% contained. There's just a handful of people working on it, so there's really nothing serious going on here right now. These were lightning-caused fires, and or some of them were, the ones that I look at. So, did not... Oh, long slide. Yeah. No, he hadn't signed up yet. I'll get a hold of him again. I sent him, he never did respond to my last email. Just one guy. He's not plural. But, I'll send him out a note here. I'm trying to get a hard date for him. And, whenever I get that date nailed down, I'll send him an email and let him know. It'll probably be the, end of next month, maybe the very first part of October. We've got so many things, so many irons in the fire here. It's trying too hard getting everything situated. But okay, let's go. The Walmart here has got a, I don't know if you guys have heard this. This is a brand new thing, just new out today, it looks like. New corporate policy. Looks like Walmart is banning the sale of AR-15 style rifles. Now, I don't know if they're going to include mini 14s and some of that kind of stuff along with it, because I don't know if they know the difference between one AR-15 style rifle and another, or any semi-automatic, or what's going on there. But they are barring their stores from selling semi-automatic AR-15 rifles and semi-automatic shotguns with a magazine capacity of 7 shots or more. Now, I haven't checked multiple sources to see, you know, what all the skinny is on this. So you're getting as much as I know here. But the one of Walmart's spokesmen said that it's not politically motivated. Really. They said they're getting rid of, going to replace ARs and self-defense and competition shotguns with more budget-oriented bolt guns. That would be stuff like the, what was that, Savage? I keep trying to forget it because the gun sucks and I forgot what it is. The 770 Remington and the Savage Axis and some of those kind of things, I would guess, from budget-oriented guns. Rimfire rifles and pump-action shotguns. So they're going to sell pump-action shotguns with unlimited or unrestricted magazine capacity. But they're going to ban semi-automatic shotguns. But it's not politically motivated. Perfect. Okay, I got you. there's... let's see. Let me find this December. No, that's a different one. All right. Well, we'll keep you up to date here and see what's going on here with this. The speaking of selling guns and bolt action guns and whatnot. Yakima Glock says it's all tactical and defensive guns. No shotguns with 18-inch barrels. No tactical accessories. They said only. Yeah, there's, hey, Yakima Glock, just so you know, and this is just an FYI, just letting you know, if you look up about, if you see that key on your right-hand side there that says shift, if you look about three keys to the left of that, you'll see a thing that looks like a little tadpole there. That little tadpole, and there's a little arrow looking thing that points to the left up on that too. But that little tadpole looking thing is what they call a comma. And those are just to let you know, I mean, there's some places that you could use those, and it works out pretty good. Don't. Anyway, just kidding you, brother. Got to throw that in there every time. Every time. It's just part of the deal, I guess. Anyway, speaking of bolt-action guns, I'm trying to decide right now. I've got three 308s, and I'm pretty much inclined to keep all three of them. I also have a 7.6 tube of 39 little... 727, the CZ 727, 527, jeez. And I've got a Remington 700 long action in a 338-06. I'm trying to figure out which one or two, not three, of those that I want to get rid of. I'm downsizing and putting things away, and I know there's been several people have used to hound me to death for that little 527 CZ, and I might go ahead and put it up for sale. I've got about four magazines to go with it. They're like $35 or $40, $39.95, whatever they are, and I'm not going to sell the scope with it. I'm going to keep that. I will, however, sell the mount with it, because the mounts are a little bit harder to get, so I'll sell the mount. And what did they say looked like? Oh, scouted. My sweetheart is peeking in. I saw that. There's my baby. Glad you made it in there, Scoutus. Anyway, so I'm pondering on that a little bit to see what the weather is. The Yeah, long slide, I don't know. If that 338.6 goes, that's going to be a pricey proposition there. It is, it's all custom. It has, if I sell it, everything goes with it. The ammo that I have loaded, the armor-piercing bullets that I have, the dies, the sizing, everything is going. And that is non-negotiable. I'm keeping none of it. So if anybody gets that, it is not going to be cheap. But I tell you what, this gun shoots really well. It was done. It was made for me by a gunsmith in New Mexico. He actually made two of them for me, and I sold one of them there about 4 or 5 years ago to a listener actually over in New Mexico. And I just, with everything that's going on and the time that I don't have to go hunting and stuff, I'm thinking I might do that. I'm not sure yet, but I'm thinking about culling the herd just a little bit. So if you guys are interested in one of those three, let me know. We'll talk about it. See what needs to happen here. Okay. There's a couple of issues going on. First, let's look at what's going on in Washington right now. We know that the fires, how bad that is. And one of the biggest issues there right now, or the biggest issue, is the people are seeing, they're experiencing right now what it would be like in a post-apocalyptic world. When the poop hits the fan, this is what they're going to see. There is looting. There is, you know, supply lines have been cut off, power's out, water's out, communications non-existent in most areas. Of course, Amron went up there and helped with that. The shortwave, the ham operators went up there and took care of a lot of that. But there's just so many things. People are starving already, and it may not be because some of them weren't prepared. It may be because some of them lost every damn thing they own in the fire, including their supplies. Now, we don't have any way of knowing how many people may have been prepared had they not lost their home. But last I heard, I don't know what the situation is right now, but last thing I heard up there was they had lost so many homes that they've lost count of them. They don't even know how many had gone. So that's serious business going on up there, damn serious. And so we're seeing, and the thing that ticks me off so bad is that people are still not getting it. The only people that get it and understand are the people that are directly affected by this activity up there. Whether it's the rescue people, the firefighters, or the people that's lost their homes, lost, cattle and land and every cotton picking thing else. I mean, the land's still there. There's just nothing on it. So those people get it, but there's, 289 million other people in the country that don't get it. And, I think about this all day, and it just absolutely blows me away. I'm just tongue-tied over it. I don't understand. As long as there's been all of this talk about prepping and all this stuff, and then there's people that don't have water, these are people that haven't lost their homes. So, now, one of the things that on top of all this are people that are the misappropriation of a lot of the funds and supplies up there. It appears that, and this is not the first story I've heard about this, I've heard of a number of times that they've done this, it appears that the Red Cross is hoarding a bunch of that stuff and not getting it out to people. they're having a hard time, people wanting to give and donate are having a hard time finding a place to do it. And when they do, then they're having a hard time, or they have no control over where it's getting out. Now, Liberty for All is going up there and trying to make heads or tails of what's going on up there and trying to figure out what they're doing. And they may, there may be a possibility that, something's going to have to be done to persuade the Red Cross to give up their stuff and get it distributed properly. I guess there was, some of the people on the reservations up there are going out to other places and trying to collect supplies so that the reservation gets to keep theirs. They're trying to get all that taxpayer-funded stuff and government stuff and all the stuff, private donations to help them, and not using their own supplies. So that's no big surprise either. But it's getting to be a quite the mess up there. So if you can donate anything, maybe we could get B2 or Scout to post some contact information on the chat room here. If you can donate anything at all that you can get out there, water, jackets, coats, toys, things for kids, pretty much anything. There's loving those people, blankets, sleeping bags, whatever. These people have lost everything. And so if you can help with any of that, it would be greatly appreciated. Money. There's money can be used for the supplies, fuel, food, and all that stuff, but also for fuel and for any accessories that are not readily available through the supply chain there that they might be able to get with a little bit of cash. So anything you can do would help. So, Hunter, I heard about that. So, there you go. Now, I'm going to try to stall here, talk about a couple other things right till the top of the hour, because after the top of the hour, we've got some other stuff to talk about that's probably going to take the rest of the other half of the show here. So, let me, here, speaking of Walmart, the University of Wisconsin, the Director of Community Affairs, Community Relations, has said that, and there's a quote here. Let me find this quote. This is the mindset right here. Add this on to what we were just talking about with the fires and the supplies and everything. Okay? He says, I just don't think they should be prosecuting cases for people who steal from Walmart. I don't think that. I don't think that Target and all them other places, the big boxes that have insurance, that they should be using the people that steal from there as justification to start engaging in aggressive police behavior. So let me let that soak in there for just a second here. Maybe I'll just leave it right there. I don't know what to say. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. But this was a panel, a group of people getting together and discussing ways to take care of them, best policing practices. And this guy says that people just shouldn't prosecute people for stealing from, shouldn't be against the law, shouldn't be a crime for stealing from Walmart. I'll tell you, it is a crime to steal from pretty much anybody, anything. Now, there's a... There's kind of a gray area there. We talked about these militia guys that were stealing from the drug cartel and everything. Just because stealing from criminals still makes you a criminal. Now, when you take down the criminal or whatever and they have stuff... Now, where this is kind of gray to me is... Since the government is not doing their job down there to help with that, and people are getting scared of donating funds to some of these outfits, you know, I don't know how bad it is to collect operating money from some of these people. And the drugs, obviously, without question, should be destroyed. Completely. No exceptions. Depending on what... Well, no, just whatever. If you're not going to destroy it, then turn it in. It's not up to us to stop these people and then steal all their stuff. That's not cool. So, yes, stealing from Walmart is a crime. And even if it wasn't a crime, it is still... immensely immoral. So we're going to have a little bit of problem. We're already seeing it in Washington. And Washington's not the first case either. I mean, we saw it during Katrina and numerous other times. We see people with no values, immorality, maybe I should say, lack of ethics, of people taking supplies and taking advantage of people, looting, and just everything you can imagine while this stuff is going on. So let me go to a break here right quick. And when we get back, we have a whole nother topic to get into. And yes, it does involve guns. And we've talked about it numerous times. But I think we're going to look at it from a little different perspective this time and see what y'all think about it. So give me a few minutes and I'll be back here.
A present from his daddy's hand, a genuine toy hammer. He started beating to beat the band. He hit the floors and the wall, broke a lamp in the hall, started swinging at the puppy's tail. When you're holding a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Listen now, he was a president, number 44. He says, trust me, I'm here to help you. Some big plans, you're gonna love what I'm gonna do. There's no problem too big or small. He thinks he's got an answer that just can't fail. When you're holding a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Well, he thinks big thoughts and he dreams big dreams, but it's another man's sweat that pays for those schemes. He don't care how the little people feel, cause saving the world is a big freaking deal. So he does his business behind closed doors and pretends that the world is just begging for more. When the stuff hits the fan, he says, don't look at me. If you got trouble, blame 43. Now Congress is saving Wall Street while they're watching Main Street fall. They got healthcare all figured out, but it don't seem to care much at all. As soon as they save this planet, they'll put the fire out in hell. When you're holding a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Yeah, they think big thoughts and they dream big dreams, but it's another man's sweat that pays
for those kings. They don't care how the little people feel, 'cause saving the world is a big freaking deal. They do their business behind closed doors and pretend that the world is just begging for more. When the stuff hits the fan, they say, don't look at me. If you got trouble, blame 43. There'll be a party come this November where we're gonna set things straight. All good people gonna gather around, gonna show what made this country great. We'll run off the schemers and backroom dealers, so the red, white, and blue will prevail when we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. When we're holding a hammer. Every one of them looks like a nail.
When they stopped to make their play, there was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped, and the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip, big iron on his hip.
All right, I'm back. Sorry about the little bit of dead air right there. I had somebody hollering at me on the radio here, and I had to go take care of that. Yeah, come on, Glock. Next time I come up there, we're going to have to sit down and have a comma class, see if we can help you out with that. All right, let's look at everybody's heard about the shooting in Roanoke, Virginia, right outside of Roanoke, I guess. And we've seen several things online about it. There's been an actual video. This shooter actually videoed himself doing the shooting, and what we're looking at here, there's several different issues here. I guess the first is situational awareness. Now, there's some people that argue that, well, you know, in a job like hers, you know, you just can't be looking around. If you want to keep your job and you want to be professional and you want to be good at what you do and everything, you need to keep your eyes on the person that you're interviewing. You can't just be looking around every time you see a movement out of the corner of your eye or something. So that being the case, I would say either find another job or don't be that good at what you're doing. It's hard to figure that guy walked up there, and now the person that was being interviewed, she was being very professional too. I don't know if it was a legislator or a public official of some kind, but the person walked right almost in front of her and had apparently, from what it looked like, had the gun out, but her eyes never strayed from the reporter. So, and then of course the camera guy, you can see that. Now that's a job where you have to stay on the camera. You can't be looking around. So what's the answer to that? Well, probably finding another job, because the news company, the news outfit, is not going to hire somebody to stand around there and be a lookout for those guys. And probably if they're just working for a TV station somewhere, they're probably not making enough money to really make enough money to hire somebody to stand around and stand guard for them. So, you know, the very first thing when I watched this, the very first thing that come to mind was, wow, I can't believe that somebody didn't notice him. It would be hard for me to be that kind of a reporter. Because if I see the clouds moving or the breeze move leaves or a plastic sack blow by, or I see anything moving out of the corner of my eye, either side, or maybe behind my target, not the target I'm shooting at, but the target I'm talking to, I just can't help it. I have to take a look and see what's going on. It would be difficult for me to be the level of, to have the level of professionalism that's needed to do a good job, and keep your eyes on the subject there. So I wouldn't be very good at that, but it's hard to believe that guy walked up, especially after he walked around behind the reporter, stuck his gun out there. You can see it. He had a camera, a helmet cam or whatever it was, that was actually showing the gun itself. It was a Glock. And that lady that was being interviewed should have seen him. Now, maybe the reporter may have seen something out of the corner of her eye, but she may or may not have. She may have been just completely in condition cop and didn't see anything. Or maybe she did and had to force herself to be professional and not look. You know, and we'll never know. But situational awareness, big deal. Condition yellow. Condition yellow is your friend. That is the minimum level of awareness that you should be in at any time to help to avoid an attack. So work on that if you're not already there. It's hard for, you know, the most tuned up people in the whole world can't stay at that level of awareness 100% of the time for very long. They can do it for a while, but they have to have breaks. And so you can't expect the average civilian to be that way as much as you'd like, as much as you should. But anyway. Yeah, Doc, I think that Harley would be a good thing. There was so many vehicles got burned up and everything. I think if you sent that Harley up there, I think that'd be a damn fine idea. I think they'd really appreciate that. All right, next thing. We've talked many times, and it's hard for people to understand this deal about stopping power, as they call it. You know, we see so many things on the movies where people are knocked off their feet, knocked backwards, blown great big gaping holes in them, and knocking them through walls and all this kind of stuff. And it just don't happen. Now, we can talk about that all day long, but until you really see it, you just kind of have to take my word for it, or take anybody's word for it that's talking about it, because until you see it, well, you saw it happen today. You saw it happen. We're guessing that this was a Glock that the guy was shooting, and I think it's a pretty safe bet. I'd say 90% or better bet that it was a 9mm. Probably a 19 or a 17 or something. It's possible it could have been a 40. It was definitely not, under any circumstances, was it a 357 SIG. You would have been able to tell from the noise. But watching his hand with the recoil and just knowing the popularity of the 9mm and everything, I would bet good money that it was a 9mm. Okay, let's get that out of the way right to start with. So what happened when he pulled the trigger? His first shot looked like it was a dead center mass shot. The second one could have been a miss, but it looks like she was hit two or three times, and the first one was while she was still facing. And it looked like she took two or three hits and then turned around and screamed and started running. And you could hear it after the tape went blank. You could still hear shooting in the background. I don't know. The lady that she was interviewing got shot, and they took her to the hospital. And then the cameraman died on the scene. So after the deal went black, there's no telling how many of those shots went to the cameraman and how many of them may have went to somebody else, or just follow-up shots on the lady reporter. But nevertheless, let this not be construed as knocking the 9mm, because it has happened with 40s, with 357 Magnums, with 45 ACPs, with 357 SIGs, with 41 Magnums. It's happened with every caliber out there that's ever been used in an attack or a defensive shooting of any kind. So this is not about 9mm. It's about the people's reaction to being shot. Now, the other thing about this, pretty good chance that it was Full Metal Jackets. No guarantee. We don't know the guy. We don't know his if he was a gun guy, if he knew the difference between a Full Metal Jacket and a hollow point, or the difference between a generic hollow point and a good defensive round. We don't have any idea. I don't know if we'll ever know that or not. But there's a pretty good bet, and I've said this many, many times, that the 9mm, one of the reasons it's got its bad reputation for stopping power, stopping people, is that it's more often than not used with the cheapest stuff on the market, which is always Full Metal Jacket, or military surplus stuff, or whatever, and almost certainly was a Full Metal Jacket. So not a great stopper in any caliber, really, Full Metal Jackets. But I saw somebody on Facebook today, and it was made a good point that the people on TV will, get shot and then turn around and do whatever, get all fixed up and be back in a couple hours, you know. I don't really know if that is relevant to what we're talking about, but it always comes up in the conversation. But the thing about this is she took at least 2 to 3 shots and then took off running. And we don't know how many after that before she collapsed. So what does this mean to you? Well, if whatever size gun you have, whatever type ammunition you're using, whatever caliber it is, understand that even with rifle calibers that are not shots not placed properly, that people are still almost 100% fully functional unless there is a central nervous system hit somewhere. And there can be, we've heard us talk about the head box, the craniocular cavity, numerous times on here. If you want somebody to stop right away, that's and pose no further threat to you whatsoever, that's where the bullet has to go. In that craniocular cavity. A headshot is not always an instant incapacity, an instant killer. It's usually an instant stopper, but it's not always an instant killer. I can think of numerous examples when that happened there. The Rolex, I don't, right off the top of my head, I've got so many things swimming around in my head right now, I'm not sure what the, going to OT, what is OT? Enlighten me with your wisdom. I don't remember what that is. But, anyway, the, people expect people to go flying backward, fall down right away quick in a gunfight. This is a very bad misconception, a very dangerous misconception when, you know, you hear people say, well, why didn't you shoot him here? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Well, there's a lot of reasons for that, and a lot of it has to do with stress. We won't even get into that right now unless we have time a little later. But there's, remember the gal in Georgia that was forced up to the attic, had a six-shot 38 special. She shot all six times, hit the guy five times. Oh, you're talking about hollow points. Okay, I got you, Rolex. Hit the guy five out of six times, point blank range with a 38. And he fell down the stairs, went and got in his truck and drove away and crashed a few hundred yards from the site. Had he wanted to, and had he had a gun, he probably could have done a whole lot more damage than he did. So, take home lesson here, excuse me, is that you shoot them to the ground. You shoot them until they no longer pose a threat to you. We've talked about this 100 times, but now that we've got that video to watch and see what happened, it is clearly that first shot is absolutely dead on the money. And she didn't even flinch. Which takes us to another point. This also backs up when I've said, I don't know how many times on here, and I don't know if anybody believes me or not, but, and that is the fact that getting shot rarely hurts. Doc says his shot in the foot with the .22 hurt like hell. But I've been shot with bigger things than that, and it was absolutely pain. Went numb immediately. And I guess it depends on where, what kind of round it is and where you get hit. But the V2 Basic, that's a bunch of hokey crap from the internet. Don't even pay any attention to that. Look at the guy that did the shooting. He's technically black, African American, if you'd like to call him that. But if you look at him, he's very, very light complected, has freckles. His hand is as white, is the same color as his face. His hair, really, and his facial features are really the only thing that gives him away for being black, because he is not, by any remote stretch of the imagination, dark skinned. That's one of the many things that they get on the internet and try to say, oh, it's a hoax, it's the Rockefellers did it, or whatever. You know, I'm getting so tired of that crap, I can't stand it. But I don't, the hand very much matches the face. I don't think that's an issue at all. But we'll back up here to Yakima's question. What about the fully jacketed semi-wad cutters? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, the semi-wad cutters are much better than standard full metal jacket. Hell yes. Whether they're jacketed or lead doesn't matter. The wad cutters are good rounds. Are they as traumatic as a, or maybe dramatic, as a good hollow point? No, they're not. But the semi-jacketed, I mean the semi-wad cutters, the thing that makes them good is that they remove tissue as they enter. They're like a drill. They're like a cookie cutter. They go in there and pretty much cut that tissue aside and leave a bleeding wound on both sides. It is highly unlikely that the bullet will stay in the body. Leaves a bleeding wound on both sides, which also allows air in on both sides, which is good for making a pretty quick stop. A good hollow point will open up, may or may not exit, but tears up a lot of stuff inside, which also makes for a quick stop. Neither one of them, any of them, are immediately incapacitating if you don't get into the cranial or the central nervous system there somewhere. Whether it's somewhere in the spine, even if you get the lower spine, that doesn't keep them all the time from still using their upper body, meaning their hands may still be a threat. It depends. But certainly shot up in the upper part of the spine somewhere, the neck, the brain, all that, those are instantly incapacitating and keeps them from doing anything. But no matter whether you're using the semi-wad cutter that Yak's talking about or the best hollow point on the market or a round nose full metal jacket or whatever, none of them are instantly incapacitating. Some of them will stop them a whole lot faster than others. But shot placement is everything. If you don't put the shot where it counts, it doesn't really matter what kind of ammo that you're using. Doesn't matter. Rolex, that's 7.62 by 25. I bet that was exciting. That's a pretty peppy little round there. Yeah, if you got hit with one of those, that was probably a story to tell the grandkids. There's also a guy, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we've talked about it way too many times, but that is the guy that was shot seven times with a .45 ACP up in Farmington, New Mexico. And one of them put out his, I think it was his left eye. So he was shot once in the head. Obviously not a good cranioocular cavity shot, and it was had to be a little bit of an angle towards the outside of the skull there somewhere, but it put out his eye nevertheless. So it doesn't matter what you use, and these people that spend all this time going on and on about the right kind of ammo and all that, yes, absolutely, some are better than others, no question about it. But no matter how good it is, it doesn't make up for poor marksmanship. Yak, I don't know. I don't remember when I said this. I've said stop about 100 times so far in this story, so I'm not sure where you lost it at. I'm sorry about that. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there, and there's another guy, an instructor in Ohio that I was watching on Facebook today, and he started talking about that quite a while, earlier in the day. And he was one that, he's okay with the, not getting the stopping power that the guy probably was looking for, but he was adamant that situational awareness had nothing to do with this in her case because of her profession and what she was trying to do there. I don't know. I think that she was probably just as much a sheep as so many other people out there, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way. It's I wish we could all be that way and be safe and be happy. But we can't. I wish we could all just go and go decide to take a nap on a park bench somewhere with your laptop sitting beside you and feel comfortable and safe to do that and not worry about waking up dead or losing your laptop. I wish we lived in a world that like that. But the simple fact is that we don't. And some of you may have seen my post on Facebook today where a lady said she was talking about the shooting there today. And she said, what's happening to our world? And I said, and believe me, this gal is as, she's a neighbor, doesn't live too far from us. She is as optimistic and pleasant as anybody out there. She said, what is happening to our world? And I said, I'll tell you what's happening. It's exactly what we've been told is going to happen. It's exactly what we've been trying to get the point across when we do these classes and stuff. And at this point, it really shouldn't come as much of a surprise to anybody that this is going on. As ugly and unsavory as it sounds, this is becoming our new normal. And I didn't mean to sound pessimistic to her when I said, don't expect this to get any better anytime soon. It's not pessimistic, it's reality. It's a fact. It is our world now. And I told her the fact is, in the not too distant future, we're going to look back at these times right now, look back at today, and say, I wish we could have those days back. Those were the good old days. And that's not too awfully far from here. And then I talked to her about, I wasn't talking to her, I just added it to the post there. And we made every attempt. You guys know we had our emergency response training group. And we offered, you know, 7 or 8 classes over a period of 3 months or so. Free classes, because this is my community and I live here. And I'm trying to get the word out and help these people. And initially we had a pretty good turnout, and it dwindled, and then we had, when we started, as long as we was talking about storing food and water, everybody was pretty on board. As soon as we start talking about self-defense and checkpoints and curfews and roving patrols and that kind of stuff, we lost them. They disappeared in vast numbers, where we had just a handful left when it was over with. That's not the kind of thing that they want to hear. And unfortunately, that's... Rolex, you're right. The bigger problem is it will get worse. Hell yeah, it's going to get worse. Like I said, we're going to look back at today and say, man, I wish we could go back to those days. Here we are now looking to say, wow, I wish we could go back to the 90s, to the 80s, to the 70s, to the 60s. But Eddie Crump, you know, that's a good attitude. And the fact is, Eddie says, we'll make this world right again or die trying. That's a great attitude. Unfortunately, the fact is, many of us will die trying, but the other side of that is, we will make it right again. We know that the Constitution will be restored. We know that America will survive. We know that America will stand as a guiding light and a symbol of freedom for the entire planet. But it's going to be a long, hard fight getting it back to that point. but I'm telling you, there is no question that the Constitution will survive. It will hang by a thread, and it will get as ugly and as bad as you can possibly imagine. But it will survive. We, as a free people in a society, we will survive. Now, sadly, a whole bunch of us won't survive to see this happen. But the society that we know, or that we used to know, will survive this. Rolex figures about an 85% loss rate. Yeah, I'm in full agreement. I figure at least that. At least that. I don't expect anything less than that. 85, 90, maybe even 95% loss. Just look at what's going on. Think about this a minute. Just stop what you're doing and close your eyes and wrap your mind around this for a minute. Look what's going on in Washington right now. Those people have nothing. They don't have literally a pot or a window. They don't have anything to sleep in or on or with. They have nothing to eat. They have nothing to drink. Some of them. Now, it's getting better, I'm sure. But these are people that's had immediate, or as close to immediate as humanly possible, assistance. Imagine when the poop hits the fan in large fashion, how bad that's going to be. There is going to be no assistance, folks. People will die from starvation in the first few days, and give it 30 to 60, maybe 90 days. There will be so much death from infection, from diseases. Not to mention the violence that's going to be happening. So, for those of you that are not preparing, you're just sitting around listening to this show, and you're not preparing for all this, let me make this as easy but as plain for you as I can. You're a freaking idiot. That's all I can say. You and anybody that depends on you, your family, your children, the older folks around you, your neighbors, are going to die because you're a moron. Is that clear enough? I got to get out of here. We'll see you all tomorrow, and thanks for joining me.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.